Welcome back to the Radio Cafe. I am here with Pat Davis. He's director of the nonprofit advocacy group Progress Now, New Mexico, about a measure that will be put on the November special election ballot to outlaw abortion after 20 weeks. Now, this vote just occurred Monday in Albuquerque. Welcome to the Radio Cafe, Pat Davis.
Thanks so much for having me. Come up.
Can you tell us a little bit about what happened on this vote and what it means for New Mexico, not just Albuquerque?
Well, thanks. And that's exactly right. This is an Albuquerque sort of measure, but it's going to have a huge state impact. The bottom line is that the measure before Albuquerque councilors was started a few months ago by some advocacy groups on the right, out-of-state groups who really didn't have much connection here to New Mexico, came and started organizing on the ground to gather signatures to pass what is bottom line a Texas plus sort of abortion ban, very similar to the ban that was placed that was passed in the Texas legislature. They're trying to do that now on a municipal level here in the city of Albuquerque. And really the impact for that is that it essentially bans abortions in New Mexico across the board, because the only clinics remaining in New Mexico that provide surgical abortion procedures and options for women are still based in Albuquerque. So it's really a statewide ban that they haven't been able to pass through the legislature, and so now they're going to a very local level to get it done. And the council in Albuquerque had a very long and impassioned debate about it, but ultimately the city charter left them very little choice in that if enough voters want to vote on a measure, they had to place it on a ballot, and so that's what they did on Monday.
So this is, and let's tell listeners a little bit about the history. So Operation Rescue, they basically chose Albuquerque as a municipality. They came in this summer, was it June, July?
That's right. The Operation Rescue has targeted Albuquerque for a long time. They've had some people, they moved here a number of years ago from Kansas following the murder of an abortion doctor in Kansas, sort of making Albuquerque the next target for their national efforts. And they've been organizing on the ground here for a long time. They've done some public relations campaigns to try to sway the legislature that have not yet been successful. But then in June, after we saw what happened in Texas, they took that Texas abortion ban legislation almost word for word, added a few things to it to make it, in our opinion, a little more even more extreme, and put it before some Albuquerque voters, hoping to force a vote on this in our municipal elections in October. They weren't quite that successful. They weren't quite on their game there, but they are going to get a vote in November.
Now, they did manage to get about 28,000 signatures. Is that correct?
That's right. The city clerk verified about 12,000 of those, which is enough to place it before the city council and again, to place it on the ballot.
So I did speak with one of the city councilors, Janice Arnold-Jones, and she was saying, I mean, she doesn't support abortion, but she did say that much of the decision really had to do with, one, that they met the qualification, but there's a lot of discussion about the constitutionality and whether this will result in a court challenge that could cost a huge amount of money.
That's right. This has really been the discussion all along, and the counselor in this case is right. We disagree with her on a lot of things, but I think we agree with her on this. The city charter is very clear that if they get enough signatures, the council shall place this before voters. How they do that is up to them, but they have to get a vote. But what some of the other counselors have argued all along is that for legislation like this, which has been struck down time and time and time again, is unconstitutional, which the supporters even acknowledge is unconstitutional, it places the city in an awkward position. The city clerk has told the council at a previous meeting that she estimates that this special election is going to cost Albuquerque taxpayers upward of $600,000. And the city attorney's office said it may cost as much as $500,000 in legal fees to defend a law, which they're required to defend if it's our law, that they don't believe in and they know they shouldn't be defending. So we've got these out-of-state groups coming to Albuquerque to spend, forcing our taxpayers to spend $1 million to advance their political agenda. And quite frankly, we've got a lot of things we could do with that $1 million. There's a lot of people out of work. We need some reform in our police department. And quite frankly, there's a lot of infrastructure that needs to be done in Albuquerque. We need that $1 million for other things and not to play politics on some national grand scale here.
Well, there's also a lot of work that could be done around, say, education, teen pregnancy, rape and incest of small children, which really brings me to some of the most restrictive aspects of this. Whether or not you are for abortion in any way, it bans all abortion. It provides absolutely no exception for survivors of rape or incest. So what is going on here in this sense? I mean, this is where this whole argument really seems to target women and target poor people. And I think wealthy people, if they really have and unwanted pregnancy can take care of that. But a lot of people without resources, without information, without knowledge, there is nowhere for them to go. And there certainly are not the resources to support an unwanted child who then comes into the world. So is this correct that there are no exceptions in this particular measure?
That's absolutely right. There are no exceptions whatsoever for survivors of rape, for survivors of incest. And in fact, there's an additional clause that says a woman who can demonstrate that she's been psychologically traumatized by her pregnancy, either because she's a victim of rape, which is a traumatizing encounter, as we can all imagine, can't use her trauma as a reason to move forward. A doctor can't provide her with the service because she's been traumatized. I mean, there are a lot of really extreme pieces of this, but I think this is, as I've been making the argument a number of places, this is another advance, this is another step, the next step in the sort of what we the right wing's attempts to undermine and go after the individually the pieces of Roe versus Wade. We saw last year Katherine Brown in the legislature and the entire female Republican caucus co-signed a bill to prosecute doctors who provide abortion and to send rape victims to prison if they sought to obtain an abortion. I mean, that was clearly an attack on the rape and incest exceptions that the Supreme Court and our legislatures have upheld across the country for decades. And we're seeing that now on a municipal level. They couldn't do it at the state level. Now they're going to take it city by city.
And this is the first, this would be the first municipal vote on anti-choice measures until now have been limited to state houses. So Albuquerque is really, this is going to be the first one?
It is. I mean, it, when you talk about the war on women, I know it's sort of a cliche argument. We hear a lot of it on MSNBC and Fox and back and forth. But if we think about it in those terms, a lot of people will make the argument that they have advanced sort of the argument at state legislature level from North Carolina, North Dakota, to Texas, about as far as they can get. But in places like New Mexico, where the legislature has stood strong against these extreme measures, there are pockets of places and communities where they can push these measures on a municipal level. They've chosen Albuquerque because we've been successful to advance some really progressive legislation, like minimum wage, fixing our city charter, and other things. And so now they're taking advantage of that, coming in from out of state, to use Albuquerque as a test bed. But they've been very clear in saying that if it works in Albuquerque, they want to do this across the country in places where they can't get these big statewide wins. But just like here, this is a place where it's an Albuquerque voters get to decide, but every woman in New Mexico and every family in New Mexico is impacted because the last surgical centers available in the state of New Mexico and for great parts of the Southwest are here in Albuquerque. And that's something that we should be proud to defend for women. And it's something that, quite frankly, we believe we don't need to allow these outside people and out-of-state people to come in and decide for our women.
I'm speaking today with Pat Davis. He's the director of the nonprofit advocacy group Progress Now New Mexico. This is about a measure that will be put on the November special election ballot to outlaw abortion. After 20 weeks, this vote in the Albuquerque City Council just took place Monday evening in Albuquerque. And now it seems a lot of the questions around this, as you know, across the country, not just here, the viability of the fetus. Supporters of this measure are saying, they're calling it the, quote, pain-capable unborn child protection ordinance, basically claiming that a fetus can feel pain at 20 weeks. Can you discuss that, and where do these viability studies come from?
Well, for the most part, these viability studies come from right-wing think tanks and groups and advocacy groups that are allied with Operation Rescue and sort of the extremist groups that are pushing these measures state by state. If we look at to Texas again, the most recent and highly publicized example, they used a lot of these same arguments for their bill advancing that women were in danger of obtaining these services. And yet we saw, now that they passed this, just last week the Kaiser Family Health Foundation put out a report that said, in fact, the statistics available from Texas clinics that advocates of this wanted up front, that the proponents of these measures weren't willing to wait on, actually showed that women are not in danger. That debunking the facts in Texas and the claims that were made. We're seeing those same things happen here in Albuquerque. The same groups pushing this have purported and shared claims across the country of women being injured. And as we do more public records requests and debunk those, we're able to show that, in fact, that simply the stories that they're telling simply have not occurred. But it's a fear campaign. And they have a network of people and researchers who are allied with their political agendas who are willing to fudge the facts or willing to extend the research further than science will let it go. And quite frankly, this is not a conversation about science. This is a conversation about options for women. It's a conversation about deciding whether we believe women are equal partners in the political process, whether women have the responsibility to make the choice about their own body, about their own families, and whether they can do that in concert responsibly with their doctors and with their faith. And quite frankly, women know they can. I, quite frankly, not a woman, but I'm pretty sure that every woman I've met can make those decisions. And so we really do believe that this is not, you know, we don't want to let the conversation, let the other side take this conversation into places where we know the science and the politics really aren't. This is about attacking women's place in our society. It's about attacking responsible women. And quite frankly, we all have a place to stand up for that. This is not their fight to fight alone.
Well, I'm glad you said that this is not about science, because I completely agree, and I think that sometimes we get lost in the muck, and like so many issues out there, one side for or against can throw out a statement, and the other side has to run around debunking it and doing all the research there, and by that time, there's been another ridiculous comment thrown out. Yes, it's about a woman's right to choose, and it's also, again, I bring up this, the incidence of children, rape and incest, where they don't necessarily have that, and they are already being burdened at this age. So there will be an immense amount of organizing, I suspect, between now and November. What is the date in November?
November 19th. So we're down to 60 days. Not long if you're running a political campaign. For folks who have worked on these know that it takes years to get these things together, and we've got about 2 months.
You've got about 2 months. Are you doing organizing? And I know if anybody wants to get involved, either for or against, I'm sure we have both sides listening here on the radio.
That's absolutely right. There are a number of groups that are working together now that we officially, as of Monday, have a date. They're both doing really big kickoff events. We're participating with groups like the ACLU, Respect, Young Women United, and others who are working to oppose this. RespectABQWomen.org is the group that's opposing this measure, and they are really leading the campaign. I don't speak for them, but because they're doing such a great job, they don't need my help, quite frankly. But the folks who are pushing this are allied, again, Operation Rescue and some of their local people, and they've called themselves Protect Albuquerque Women. Sounds very similar, but I think there's a very clear difference. You know, we see on the other side that it's all bankrolled by one Sandia Labs employee. He's given all the resources, out-of-state groups, one big donor. This is really an out-of-state personal political agenda, but you see literally hundreds of women and groups and advocates coming together in Albuquerque to oppose this from the RespectABQWomen.org campaign.
Now, Pat Davis, we only have about 30 seconds left. Can you tell us of any other kind of measures we may want to talk to you about on a different program that Progress Now New Mexico is taking on?
Wow, what a big answer.
I know, and I'm sorry, because we literally only have 30 seconds.
New Mexico is moving really quickly. I know some folks are sort of disenchanted sometimes with the governor and some of the directions some of these go, but I got to tell you, we're scoring some really big wins. We've been really lucky to be a part of the Santa Fe, Doniana County, and the marriage equality fight. Been pushing that. There's some really big news coming out of that really close here in Santa Fe. I hope folks will watch us on Facebook at Progress Now NM, where they can get that. And we're also working, getting ready for the legislature. We know there's a lot of conversation now about what happens post-Colorado recall with the gun legislation in New Mexico that was so close. And so we'll be looking at all those.
Well, hopefully we can have you back right before the legislative session. Thank you so much, Pat Davis.
Thanks, sir.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Zaylee Paulin, sitting in for Mary Charlotte.